Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from overcast, cloudy, cool Southern California. Discover matches all the cash back you earn your credit card. At the end of your first year, it's amazing because Discover is accepted in 99% of the places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Bruce Gradkowski will join us in 25 minutes. We'll get his take on the Aaron Rodgers situation and on the quarterback draft picks and who we're most likely to see and when we're most likely to see him. We'll also ask him about Tim Tebow signed to be a tight end with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Bob Baffert attacking the naysayers. He's going at the haters. Yeah, I'll show myself out of that. We'll get to that upcoming. But let's start with this. Last night in L.A. against the Suns, the number two seed, Anthony Davis went off for 42-12-5 in 41 minutes. The Lakers led tip to finish to beat the Suns. Got a little hairy late. Got some bad turnovers late. But the Suns were unable to get it, I think, any closer than 6 points. AD after the game said he's feeling like his old self. Take a listen.
I'm like 20% of my old self. And I'm kidding. I feel good. I'm getting my legs back. I'm getting my rhythm back. I'm getting my steps back on both ends of the floor. So I feel good. I'm getting better each game. Getting my wind back each game. So we're heading in the right direction. This is a new force. This is a different force, and I think our entire team is taking on that challenge and tackling it head on. And just we're got that mindset where control what we can control. Go out there and do what we do. Play Lakers basketball and let the rest take care of itself. So it's fun. You know, this is a challenge for us, and every challenge we can't shy away from it. We gotta have fun with it.
All right, LeBron's going to be back either Tuesday against the Knicks or Wednesday against the Rockets. That's per Chris Haynes. The Lakers currently hold the 7 seed. The Suns are the 2 seed. Last night's game was a double loss for the Suns and a double win for the Lakers. You might be like, wait, what do you mean double win? How does that work in the standings? It doesn't really work in the standings. The Lakers are still a game behind the Portland Trailblazers, and they just lost to the Trailblazers. So I believe the Trailblazers, who have, they've won, I think it's 7 of 8, right? And the Blazers have the Rockets, which that's a dub, right? Basically, they have a similar schedule in that they have the Rockets. That's a win that'll give them 40 wins. Then they have the Jazz. Then they have Phoenix on the road. Then they have Denver at home, but by that time, Denver, who they lost to by a point going back into April, you would suspect that Denver will be a team that will kind of shut it down in playoff mode, as right now they could still get the 3 seed, but I think they actually want the 4 seed to avoid the Clippers, to avoid the Suns or the Lakers even. Well, if you go with the 4 seed, because the Lakers are going to be the 7. There's still some moving parts there, but it feels like the Lakers are almost definitely going to be the 7, especially if you play the Knicks. Now, could they run the table here? Yeah, they could. They absolutely could. If you look at the end of their schedule, New York, hot team. Houston, that's a win, although on back-to-back night, so we don't know if Anthony Davis will play in that game. LeBron probably does play in that game. Then they have the Pacers, who are a mess. Then New Orleans last game of the season. But remember, there's no Zion Williamson. So it stands to reason they could very easily go 4-0. You go 4-0, you end up with 42 wins. And you put the pressure on the Portland Trailblazers to get at least the same number of wins. They have 39. They'd have to win 3 games. After Houston, the other two will be difficult. But the reason it's a double loss to the Suns is they're kind of locked into that 2 seed now. And the Lakers are close to locked into that 7 seed. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care about the standings or the records or the fact that Chris Paul could well be the MVP. Phoenix isn't beating the Lakers in a playoff series. They can't guard Anthony Davis. They have no good matchup there. And then you're going to add in LeBron James and Dennis Schroeder, who aren't playing right now. Like, that's a bad matchup for Phoenix. They don't want the Lakers, but they couldn't beat the Lakers last night. So that means they'll likely get the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs. What happened last night was, there's a bunch of different things. Anthony Davis every once in a while gets tired of being called soft, and he was the opposite of soft last night. He was everywhere. He was everything. He was incredible. And he showed he's a big reason the Lakers won the title last year. But it's more the double loss for the Suns. Like, you're the Suns today, you're sitting there going like, man, we gave it everything we had to beat a team that was down their most historically great player, whether or not LeBron's their best player or not, it doesn't matter, and their third best player in a Dennis Schroeder. Oh, and they didn't have Kyle Kuzma either. Sitting on that bench in civvies yesterday was roughly 70 points, 65 points, and you still couldn't beat them. The matchups are bad, the Lakers are better, and the Lakers against the Suns is going to be deemed as an upset because they're the seventh seed and they'll probably come out of the play-in games, but it won't really be an upset because they're really a better team. They just haven't been healthy this year, and I'm sure there was some boredom that set in playing in a regular season when you just got done playing in the finals. That series is, like, mentally, emotionally, almost feels like it's over for the Suns, despite the fact they've had a better year, an incredible year, probably the coach of the year, and maybe the MVP in a Chris Paul. Monty Williams did a great job. Chris Paul's been an amazing point guard. They still had an opportunity to come back and win that game. But again, that's without Dennis Schroeder, without Kyle Kuzma, without LeBron James. Stands the reason that you add those three and it becomes a little bit of a different team.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on your MTV. Working. That's the way you do it. Hold on, we got to get the guitar solo on this tail, hon. You let it go. The way you do it. So I'll just talk and then I'll get to the guitar solo, okay? Should we do that? It's Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Pistol on your thumb. We got you. The Bridgestone microwave ovens. Now Bridgestones are more tires, right? Custom kitchen delivery. It's a good song. Dire Straits, Gavin. Gavin wasn't even alive when this came out.
No, but this is one of my dad's favorite bands, so I listen to
Dire Straits is?
Yes, absolutely.
Is it still playing, Ramos?
Yeah. I brought it down. What are you, okay. Are you waiting for what, this?
I'm waiting for the guitar
okay,
solo. The
on.
Guitar solo at the
forward,
start of the
on.
Song is actually the best part.
Right, that's what right? I played. I thought maybe that's what you wanted.
So. No, you didn't play it. You gave me like 5 seconds of it. It's
no.
A 30-second guitar solo.
Hold on.
I know. There's a minute where there's nothing. Or 30 seconds where there's nothing, there's 30 good seconds where there's a guitar solo. I know the song. So, where are you gonna cue it in? Where are you gonna?
Well, here's where I started it with.
There
this.
You go.
Okay, you didn't must have not heard that. That was the beginning I started with.
Oh, you got to make one of those mean faces when you're doing it. Everybody, air guitar. All right. Oh, air guitar. Come on. If you're in your car, air guitar this. A little louder, Ramos. That's the other way. You just turn it down. That's good. And then there's another one in the middle of the song, which is good, too.
Yeah,
that's a
song,
very good that's a very good guitar solo. Who is the guitarist in Dire Straits?
I believe the guitarist is Mark Knopfler's brother.
He doesn't have a name?
Yeah, I can't. No, it's Knopfler. They're like... They don't like each other. There are a lot of brothers that don't like each other that play
is
in big bands.
Is it David Knopfler? Knopfler?
Knopfler. Yeah. It could be, but it's his brother.
Well,
there's
I
also
think
a
Jack Sonny.
Jack Sonny, yeah.
Okay, well.
Do we have any music aficionados out there? Yeah, so the brothers don't like each other?
No, they don't like each other, and also the Kinks, Ray Davies and his brother Dave Davies, also not fans. Also, the band Oasis, remember, they don't like each other either, the brothers. I forgot their names off the top of my head. So, a lot of bands with brothers that don't like each other.
Yeah, no, listen, I have friends who own a business in Missouri, and they're both really, really good guys. They're just very different, and they don't like each other very much, and they work together, or sort of work, they both own the business, but they sort of kind of avoid each other.
Like,
you know?
Kind of like if you, I mean, I'm not saying you and your brother wouldn't like each other.
Yeah, me and my brother, it wouldn't work.
Yeah,
it
if you coach right. together, right, it might be tough, yeah. right? Yep.
I totally agree. The one thing is that if you play a different instrument, I don't know. I'm reading this from Wikipedia. Mark and David Knopfler. Do you not pronounce the P?
Yeah, I believe it's Knopfler.
Knopfler from
yes.
Newcastle in Northeast England. Okay, and they had two of their friends, John Isley and Pick Withers. Pick Withers is a great name for a guitarist. Pick. My name is Pick. I'm a guitarist. I like to pick the guitar. That's why they call me Pick. What's your real name? Sam. Right? Anyway, they formed Dire Straits in 1977. So Pick Withers was already a 10-year music veteran. So, yeah, they were nominated for two Grammys in 1980. God, they're old. Now, Dire Straits, what was the other big song?
Sultans of Swing, yeah. right?
Sultans of Swing. That's correct.
Which is really more about, wasn't about baseball, but the video was about baseball, right?
Yes, they had kind of like Center Field by John Fogerty.
Yes.
Right.
Which had that, Center Field has that terrible fake clap track.
yeah. I think it's supposed to be like the way you play at baseball games, right?
Yes.
To get you going, yeah.
Yes, which is also awful.
That and the wave.
There's a place down
there.
Oh,
the wave.
Done.
Here comes the wave. All the kids love the wave.
Have you ever been to the Coach House? I think it's in San Juan Capistrano.
I have. Do the wave there?
Yeah, and a lot of these guys still play down there. I know my dad has seen like the Knopfler band, whatever his current incarnation of a band is, down there. So, yeah. Still kicking.
Still kicking, huh?
Who's that 94?
Great guitar solo. In the guitar solos, in the guitar solos of my lifetime, I know everybody does Stairway to Heaven or whatever. I would say that's one of the most iconic. There's a couple of Van Halen ones, which are obviously amazing. The late, great Eddie Van Halen. When I was in college, Yellow Ledbetter from Pearl Jam, which was a B-side, right? But the beginning of Yellow Ledbetter. Do you have that, Ramos?
I can play that in another open of a segment. I remembered you saying Dire Straits, Money for Nothing, so that's why I listened to the show. Yeah, it's shocking that I would sit here and listen to the show I work on. Shocking, isn't it?
Well, we were doing in the car on Saturday. We went and we decided to rescue a dog. We went to look at rescuing a Chihuahua, and it's interesting on how things work out, timing and how things work. So we live about 35, 40 minutes from where this, my daughter volunteers at a place called Priceless Pets in Costa Mesa. And she does it on the weekend. She cleans out all the poop and walks all the dogs, and she loves it. And she's constantly perusing their website for a dog or a cat or whatever. So she had there was this dog named Chewy, and we have to go see Chewy. We didn't have time until Saturday. Saturday we had nothing going. So I was like, all right, we'll take him, my son, and her. And we took some skateboards, a skateboard and a scooter, maybe go to a skate park or whatever. So we roll up at like 11:20. She had thought they opened at 11, but didn't look at the website. And then I get there and it says they open at 12. So I let them scooter and skateboard around. Turns out I was actually at the clinic site, not the orphanage, which is like a mile and a half away. So at noon, we pack all our stuff in the car. We go and we grab some Panda Express. They love Panda Express. And all health food, obviously, on a Saturday. And then we head over to the orphanage. We don't get there till like 12:40. Wouldn't you know it, there's a couple in front who's holding this Chihuahua. And then there's a guy behind him, like, they don't want the Chihuahua, he wants to look at him. And so I felt terrible. I'm like, man, I didn't really want this Chihuahua, but, you know, like, God, I can't believe we're late. But because we were late, we didn't get the Chihuahua, we started looking at other dogs. First, there was a beagle, which is really cute, really sweet, was totally loving on us, but anytime it saw another dog or a cat, it was just howling like crazy. We're like, yeah, we have a dog and a cat, that's not going to work. So we saw this little dog, and it said it's a Schnauzer poodle mix. Who knows? Who knows? Anyway, we're in love. We adopted a dog. We don't get it until tomorrow night because it had to get vet checked tomorrow and potentially neutered. And anyway, the dog is just cute as a button. And anyway, so, and she wanted to go with rocker's names. So we were listening on the whole way back. We had like an hour drive back because we stopped at the skate park. We're listening to classic rock songs. She settled on Luca, which is not a rocker's name, but we were going through like, do we need to name Eddie after Van Halen and Sutton, who goes in the Hall of Fame this weekend? No. Anyway, we were talking about like, I played some AC/DC. And you guys know I do a great AC. Not really, my voice is not there today, but I do a good, every AC/DC song sounds alike, but a kick-ass guitar solo or two in just about every one of those songs. Anyway, so I was thinking about Dire Straits. We played that one as well. We went through like our list of our favorite guitar solos, 80s and 90s fame. Feel free to send them in at Gottlieb Show. There we go. Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit failed a drug test after the race, placing the thoroughbred horse racing's most recognizable personality, the Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert, in an uncomfortable situation under a ton of scrutiny. If he is disqualified, Medina Spirit, he'll be stripped of the Derby title and its winning purse and become only the third horse in the 147-year history of the race to receive such a penalty after finishing first. The colt cannot be disqualified until a second sample collected the same time as the first confirms the result in a test expected in coming weeks. Mr. Baffert will then have the opportunity to appeal. This was Bob Baffert earlier today on the Dan Patrick Show.
I'm hoping it's a mistake. Maybe it was a wrong horse or whatever, but you know, it's something that I've got an investigation team working on it, but it's horrible, Dan. It's something that I would never risk my reputation. And I train for, you know, these great horses and I train for great clients. And it just doesn't make sense. People in the horse industry, they understand, you know, it's BS, but not the public. Churchill Down came out with a really harsh statement.
Yeah.
I was shocked by it. I think it was just a knee-jerk cancel culture kind of reaction, and they violated my due process. When you get a positive, Dan, it's supposed to be confidential, and they wait for your split to come back, and it usually takes a few weeks, and then they announce it. But it leaked out immediately. I've had this happen to me a couple of times. They just leaks out immediately, so now I have to fight this in the public.
That's Bob Baffert. So, the word cancel culture set everybody kind of giggling, like that's not what cancel culture is. I do think what he believes cancel culture means is, hey, we're not even going to listen to a proper retort. We're just going to decide we're making our decision and we're done with it. That's not really cancel culture, but it is, interestingly, a part of kind of the new age culture, right? I mean, I've said this about so many different things where young people or people who are woke, they want to protest and they have every right to say we want to be heard. It does work both ways. Both sides need to be heard. That said, the I don't know, I had nothing to do with it, you know, almost insinuating that somebody might have spiked the horse or done something to the sample. I was thinking of, and I tweeted about this, like the worst possible examples of doping culture, the excuses that come up. Did you guys see the fight Saturday night?
I did not.
Do you know who fought Saturday night?
It was Canelo, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Do you know who he just beat?
I do not know.
John?
No, I do know it was Canelo, but I don't know who he
Billy
fought.
Billy Joe Saunders. Mm. And Billy Joe Saunders had this bad habit of ducking down after he'd throw a punch. And Canelo caught him with like just a solid uppercut, I believe, from his left hand, and it broke his orbital bone.
Ouch.
His orbital socket in like 10 places. The guy probably never fights again. But what you may have forgotten about Canelo is Canelo was a juicer. Oh, I'm sorry. He didn't actually juice. What Canelo did was he ate meat in Mexico, which may have been tainted meat. That actually did happen. Where he got suspended And he said it was tainted meat. In 2018, let's see here. I believe he was fighting in like 2018 and he got a positive test and he said it was because he had eaten tainted meat. So I was thinking, like, what's the worst excuse you've heard? I remember there have been guys in the NFL who said, well, Dennis Metcalf said that he tested positive because he had 5 bottles of beer and sex with his wife at least 4 times. It was her birthday and the lady deserved a treat. That's what he said. And so that's why he tested positive. Peter Korda in tennis, he retired, but he got positive for nandrolone back in 1988. He claimed it was his love of veal, especially veal injected with steroids. That's why he tested positive. There's a cycling guy that said he had a contaminated pigeon pie. There was a guy named Sean Barber, who is Olympic hopeful in track and field. And he said he tested positive because he had an STD. Jeremy Curley in the NFL. Yeah, he said it was because of ghosts. There were lots of ghosts around. It must have been a ghost that caused the positive test. Melky Cabrera, remember Melky? He got popped positive. He was playing with the Giants back when they had a bunch of steroids guys. He got caught, and he said it was because of a fake website. There's all kinds of fake funny ones. I wonder what the excuse is going to be from Baffert that he's going to come up with. Because he got caught doping horses. But the big thing is, there's the Preakness this weekend. Did they let the horse run in the Preakness? And oh yeah, by the way, like the way it works for the Kentucky Derby, they take back the purse, but they can't take back everybody's bets. Imagine if you won on a horse that didn't actually win and you tore up your ticket and you lost, and then you won on a horse that won, but it was doping. The whole thing is nuts.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Another great guitarist solo, Prince, yeah. When Doves Cry.
Of course.
Or Let's
Prince
Go Crazy.
Prince at the Super Bowl was amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
This is from my boy Berger, who's probably listening to us on a beach somewhere. Berger, I'll translate. In Berger talk, he would say, Mark Knopfler was Dire Straits lead, brah. Lead, brah. I can't even do the Berger voice, but it would always be a brah at the end of the sentence. Berger, I appreciate you listening. Brother David was rhythm guitar. What does rhythm guitar do? Like, you just sit there and keep the rhythm? Like,
that's that doesn't, it. You got it.
You look cool.
Yeah, like, just
like
the chords.
Headband, glasses.
Like Lennon was rhythm guitar for the Beatles.
Did they have a bass? Did the Beatles have a bass?
His name was McCartney. Paul McCartney.
Mm-hmm. Paul McCartney was bass? Mm-hmm. I honestly didn't know. Okay, Paul was the bass. John Lennon was the rhythm. And then who was lead?
George Harrison.
And then Ringo's the drummer, right?
Richard Starkey, yes.
Okay. Anyway, Mark hated the limelight because of how big Dire Straits became. He's done solo tours for years. This is my boy Berger's all-time favorite. Seen him in Long Beach, London, and the Santa Barbara Bowl, and the Greek Theater. Last time in Poland, summer of 19. That's an eclectic list. My boy Berger chiming in.
That's some good info, man.
Everybody's got their thing, right? Like, I can tell you about all the different makes of basketballs that I've ever played with. I can give you a complete rundown and the difference in court sizes, court lengths, locations, different gyms I've played in, right? Like, everybody has their thing. And I have different bands I've seen in person. Santa Barbara Bowl jumps out to me because I saw Hootie and the Blowfish play there back when they were like the biggest band on earth. Little did I know, like 20 years later, became really good friends with Darius. But I like that. Dire Straits has always been... That guitar solo has always been one of my favorites. Is it Walk On Life or Walk Of Life?
Walk what
is
Of it? Life.
Walk Of Life. Uh-huh. Do the walk. Do the walk of life. Yeah, you do the walk of... Did I get it? Is that pretty good?
Absolutely.
All right, there we go. Bruce Gradkowski joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Bruce, are you a Dire Straits guy?
Man, I think, Doug, you need to stick to your day job there.
You didn't answer my question. Are you a Dire Straits guy?
Man, I like it all, to be honest with you.
Oh, God, the politically correct quarterback in you.
I really do. You know, it's funny. I was working out. I go to this CrossFit gym, you know, every day. I'm trying to still keep it going a little bit. And he asked me the other day, and I was like, honestly, it depends what mood I'm in. I'm hip-hop, I'm R&B, I'm country, I'm 80s, 90s.
To lift weights, do you like metal? Do you like hip-hop, rap? Like, what, when you're – if you got to pick – at your CrossFit place. Well, give me a shout out. What's the CrossFit place?
It is, what's it even called? I go there at 5:30 in the morning. I'm barely awake.
You don't know what the name of your CrossFit place is? Tell me more about CrossFit. I got to learn more.
It's bad, right?
All right, we'll think about it. All right, you go to your CrossFit place. What would you prefer the sound system be playing?
So it's called CrossFit Crowned.
There you go.
Finally. You know, it depends the mood, but I think I want, like, hip-hop. I'd love some Biggie Smalls on. Yep. I wouldn't even be mad, though, if they threw some NSYNC on. That's how crazy I am. It just depends my mood, a little Britney Spears.
Stop it. I'm going to save you from yourself. You're telling me to keep my day job. Bruce Gradkowski joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox.
I'll tell you what, though. Bohemian Rhapsody is my jam. You know, that movie Queen was awesome.
I'm going to guess. This is just let me offer up a guess. When you went to Toledo, if the linemen were in there lifting, it was like Metallica or some sort of hard rock.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then if anybody else is in there, now it becomes more hip hop, kind of a newer flavor type of stuff. That's every football weight room I've ever been in has that dynamic. Like the linemen, they want to go up there. They want something. They almost death metal, right? They want something along that variety. And then everybody else is like, yeah, we don't. That's not our jam. We're going to do something else.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably how it was at Toledo. And our strength coach was cool because he'd mix it up. And on Fridays, I remember him blaring Bruce Springsteen a lot. So that was pretty cool.
Speaking of Bruce Gradkowski joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. How do you think the Aaron Rodgers saga ends for this season?
Oh, man, it's, you know, I keep wondering because it's just, it's kind of sad in a sense because this past season it looked like Rodgers was having fun. Of course, he played lights out. I mean, statistics aside, it looked like he was having fun. And as he was doing that, man, he was our top PFF, had our top PFF passing grade. He was, you know, league MVP. The dude lit it up. And now everything coming out now, it's just what I look at, it's the lack of communication somewhere. Somewhere, you know, and I know the Jordan Love pick and all that, but that's not just it. I just think it's been a few years of things going on that at this point, I feel like from what I hear and see, it just kind of, just my gut is telling me, I think when he draws a line in the sand, he's like, nah, it's it. It doesn't matter the money you're going to pay me or anything like that. It's almost like he wants to stick it to Green Bay a little bit. It'll be interesting to see because the dynamic I always think of, too, is Aaron Rodgers is in every meeting. He's at every practice. So he sees Jordan Love's development. So at this point, Rodgers is just taking his own career into his own hands and saying, look, I feel in the prime of my career, I'm the reigning MVP, and I want to be treated like that. So if you're not going to do that, send me elsewhere. And you know, because I think he's also putting pressure on Green Bay and saying, look, you know, you're not going to do it on your timetable. You're going to do it on mine, and I'm still ready to roll, and I see what you have behind me, and I know you guys don't trust that as well. So I think that plays into the factor as well.
Bruce Gradkowski, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, we look back at the NFL draft. Which quarterback do you like the fit for best?
You know, coming away from it, I really like where they all landed. You know, for each one and where they're at in their development. You know, we could talk about, I mean, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, they're going to be thrusted into the action fast right now. And then I look at the other guys like, you know, Trey Lance. He gets to go to a great coach. He's going to learn some good football. I know his quarterback coach, you're going to be a technician on his footwork, his fundamentals. So he's going to learn a lot. And he also could sit back and learn for a year. You know, depending on how Jimmy G plays and whatnot like that. So I think that's a good situation. I love how
Justin Fields and Mac Jones fell a little bit, where I think Justin Fields has that chip on his shoulder. I think he's in a position that Chicago hasn't seen good quarterback playing in who knows how long. So it's only upside for Justin Fields. I mean, he was the only quarterback in college football to rank in the top 10 in both passing and rushing last season. So I think what he could bring to that offense will be exciting. And I'm more concerned, I guess, kind of can't wait to see how Matt Nagy uses him. I mean, and I think that's the important thing. How do they use him in Chicago, and how fast will he play? I think he's also in a situation where he doesn't have to get thrown in there right away. He could sit back, learn behind Andy Dalton. I backed up Andy Dalton for a few years. He's smart. He understands football protection, knowing where to go with the ball. So that's great for a young quarterback to watch and learn. But it's going to get to a matter of time where Fields is going to be put in there. And then Mac Jones, I mean, that's a perfect spot for him. You know, the offense is similar, Alabama and New England. You know, he's a Bill Belichick type of guy. He's going to know what to do. He's going to put the ball where it's supposed to go and be accurate with it. And so I really do think all these guys went to probably the best spots they could have, because I think with Justin Fields, for me, I want to see how he develops. I mean, I think he has a tremendous arm. He can throw the deep ball, the post. I have some concern about his accuracy, short, you know, quick passing game, and how quick and decisive he could play. But in the same sense, I feel like there's no pressure on him going to Chicago, because in his mind, he slipped in the draft. So he's coming in with a chip on his shoulder, and I can't wait to see how that unfolds in Chicago. And I hope it plays out for both of them. But I'm, you know, my microscope is going to be on that situation and how that unfolds.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Bruce Gradkowski, former starting quarterback in his own right in the National Football League. Played over a decade in the league. Of course, you can read, follow his work at Pro Football Focus. What quarterback do you think was helped the most based upon what his team did?
Well, I mean, you know, we could say Mac Jones being at Alabama and having all the weapons, you know.
No, I don't mean the rookies. I mean the guys that are already the starters. You're like, oh, I mean, a lot of people like what Miami did around Tua. We still don't know if Tua has what people thought he had coming out. You know, obviously the Detroit, they rebuilt the offensive line. The Packers tried to rebuild the offensive line. The Chargers rebuilt their offensive line, but they're skill position players. If we look at Cincinnati, they chose wide receiver over offensive line. Who's surrounded by better pieces now that fit better that will help the actual quarterback's production?
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the Chargers. I think the Chargers getting Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern, they really helped their offensive line. And PFF, we gave them an A+ through their draft. So they're building around a young quarterback. And this is the time to do it when these young quarterbacks are on their rookie deals. You talked about the Dolphins and Brian Flores. I have loved what Flores has done since he's been in Miami. New England Patriots, I think Bill Belichick, you know, through free agency, through the draft, I think he's really helped his team. You know, look, I know we're not talking about, you know, maybe the draft, but as far as just overall, you got to look at Tampa Bay and re-signing all their guys, keeping the band back together. You got to be excited if you're Tom Brady, Bruce Arians. You're going to have another run at it. So I think there's some really good, you know, moves. I like what the Niners have done throughout the rest of that draft. But in the Jets, I think the Jets, you know, they get their quarterback, they get an O-lineman, then they get a stud receiver. You know, so I like the leadership in Robert Saleh, what he's bringing. There's going to be more stability to that team. So that'll be interesting to see. But I think the Chargers did a really good job really filling gaps they need this offseason. And then they still have, you know, we watched Justin Herbert and what he did last year, and he's going to only continue, hopefully get better, and he's going to have more weapons around him, at least be protected better for next season.
Bruce, great stuff, dude. Not sure about your musical selection with the whole Britney Spears thing. Outside of that, amazing performance. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, brother. Have a good week.
You too. Bruce Gradkowski joining us. He didn't tell us about CrossFit. Tell me more about CrossFit. Oh, you're a vegan. Tell me more about that as well.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day this time, the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, we get to a game. Let's get after it.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Game time brought to you by Hustler Turf. Hustler Turf Equipment has the most complete lineup of residential and commercial zero-turn lawnmowers in the industry. And with over 1,000 dealers across the nation, there's a Hustler Turf dealer near you. Visit HustlerTurf.com. That's HustlerTurf.com. Deb Carson, what's the game?
John Ramos.
Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Doug Gottlieb, is it a big deal, little deal, or no deal that the Jacksonville Jaguars are planning to sign quarterback-turned-tight-end Tim Tebow to a one-year deal?
It's a little deal that people make into a bigger deal. I'm going to talk about it at the top of the hour. The conflation of the Kaepernick story and the Tebow story, which is meant to happen. It's big in that, look, he's a huge personality and name in football and in mainstream, as well, mainstream America as well, switching positions. But remember, just because you signed a one-year deal does not mean you made the team. Got to make the team. You have to be under contract to go to camp.
Right. All right. Big deal, little deal, no deal. The Seahawks receiver, DK Metcalf, finished last in his heat and 15th out of 17th overall in the 100-meter dash at the U.S. Track and Field Golden Games. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
I think it's a big deal, but in a different way than people want to make it seem. They might want to make it seem like it was a bad showing, right? Keep in mind, he's 235, 240 pounds. Usain Bolt's like 205. Right? So if he were to train, if he were to change his body to a sprinter's body, do I think he would win a gold medal? No, probably not. But I think considering the limited amount of training time and the fact that he can't change his body to fit that more of a sprinter's body and to be lighter, I actually think it was a great showing by DK Metcalf.
Yeah, I think people underestimate how fast he is for a football player and realize he still beat two guys who do this full time. Anyway,
correct.
Big deal, little deal, no deal. The Dodgers have lost 14 of their last 19 games, falling to third in the NL West.
The Dodgers?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, they're in. I mean, they can't beat the Angels. So, and they had a 13 run lead against the Angels, and they nearly choked it away when Kershaw was that on Saturday. So yeah, it's a big deal. They're a bit of a mess right now.
Agree. Big deal, little deal, no deal. The Colts signed former Chiefs left tackle Eric Fisher to a one-year deal.
It's a big deal, right? A guy who, he was injured, so he didn't play in the Super Bowl, but he's going to have to, this is another year where Carson Wentz is going to have to deal with a guy who's maybe a little long in the tooth coming off injury to protect his blind side. That's been an issue for him in the past. Big deal because it's Carson Wentz.
Yes, and it still gets him some protection, presuming Fisher comes back healthy. Big deal, little deal, no deal. NFL teams reportedly think the Texans are slowly moving on from Deshaun Watson.
Obviously, it'd be a big deal if it's true, but there's so much other stuff to unpack with Deshaun Watson. It's really hard to tell. Like, what does that exactly mean? What is his value? When will he play? But that's a big deal if it, in fact, becomes true.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Coming up next, Tim Tebow hasn't given up his dream of playing in the NFL, but he's given up his position. Why it's different than Kaepernick. Next in the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.